The first reading says he gives them time to repent, and that's kind of a summary of the gospel here. This gospel is one of my favorites. Jesus is trying to explain what has been hidden, secrets hidden from the foundation of the world. This is the gardening season. It's a perfect gospel for all of us. Well, have weeds in the garden. I'm going to go out and weed. This will give me ideas, actually. That Jesus, the master gardener who planted everything, to use the analogy he's using, is explaining to us what the world is about and why God puts up with good and evil, but only for a time. The time will come when everyone will be revealed for who we really are. And at that time, good and evil will be separated and there'll be no more evil again. We don't want to be on the wrong side at that moment. And it can come for any of us at any moment when all that we are is revealed. But in the meantime, weeds and wheat grow together, and we can't always tell which is which. And in the gospel, this phenomenon was a common occurrence. The Romans had a law against this very thing that Jesus is talking about, that there was something called bearded darnel. There's another name for it also. 2,000 years ago, wheat didn't look like it does today, but I think it's a progenitor of what we have now. But this plant it looks just like wheat in its early stages, and you can't tell. And by the time you tell what it is, its roots have gotten all intertwined with the wheat, and you can't pull it out. So it's designed to mix with, it came to grow just like the wheat, and the problem is it's poisonous. So the farmer has to pull it out before he can sell it or eat it. But this was done by an enemy. Notice that the enemy sows by night, God sows by day. The enemy doesn't want to be seen for what he's doing. It's the evil one or something evil that's going to bear bad fruit. And so we have a parable of discernment. About 50, I hate to say how long this has been, many years ago, my sister died very tragically, one of them. And my parents buried her up at Holy Cross Cemetery in Culver City, California. It's a beautiful cemetery. The spot they picked up is overlooking the whole city. My mother always liked a view lot, even for a cemetery, I guess. But it was buried right next to a number of movie stars, actually, like Bing Crosby and people like that. But anyway, they had this plot. I used to joke, I said, I own a view lot in Los Angeles. The only problem is it's 12 feet by 6 feet by 9 feet down. Anyway, that has nothing to do with my homily, but anyway, my mother visited the cemetery there was about 8 years that we continued to live in that area, and she went every day. It was very hard for her, and I've come to understand a lot about grief from that experience of growing up with this situation. And she decided that she would plant some flowers to stop spending so much money at the flower shops in the area. So every week she'd put flowers there. So she planted a bunch of carnations. Rabbits love carnations, so she learned to put some pepper on the carnations, the rabbits won't eat it. Just a little hint. So she bought these carnation seeds. We dug up all the strawberries, plants that weren't bearing anymore, around the side of the house, cultivated it, fertilized it, watered it. None of us had ever seen what carnations look like before their bloom, so these things started to grow, and I thought, they look a little bit weird. And we continued to water them, they kept coming up, and we didn't think they looked like carnations, but that's what the package said. And anybody who's a farmer here is going to think we're nuts, but we got all the way to the point where it was fruiting. It turned out to be a massive crop of weeds or some kind of crabgrass or something that I can't remember what it was, but it was not carnations and it was invasive. The company was Germain's, of all people. So we sent a picture to them of this. We got a letter of apology from the president of the company and a box of seeds this big. But the damage was done. It took years to get that out after there. Imagine fertilizing and cultivating, and it turned out to be poisonous. And considering why we planted them. And so many of us are fertilizing and watering and caring for something that's not going to bear fruit in the end. What is it? Selfishness. Me first. This whole attitude that's so prevalent in our society to climb the ladder at any cost, to step on whoever you need to lie and cheat, and the impurity of our society and so on. None of this bears good fruit in the end. And it all comes down to, what are we here for? The Creator gives us this wisdom. This is His garden. We're planted for a time. The garden is within our hearts and also out in the world. We're surrounded by plants of various kinds. You can't tell all at first what's bearing fruit and what isn't. We all have to live together. And unlike a plant, we can become a weed or wheat, so to speak, depending on how we're living. But the end result is, what kind of fruit did I bear with my life? Was it poisonous or was it good fruit? And this is something that God can see and we must discern. Sometimes with a plant, we can tell at the very beginning of its growth that it's a weed. We can still pull it out. Other times, we've let it grow so long that it's intertwined with our whole life, and it can be very difficult to pull out. Think of an addiction of some kind, or pornography. It's very hard to pull these out. But God calls us to discern in our lives what is bearing fruit, what is not. There's also going to come a time of sorting for the whole world. At each of our deaths, we are revealed for who we really are. Perhaps to our own surprise, I think. We don't even know ourselves as well as others do, I think. There's also an interesting hook on this, that God preserves the field for the sake of the wheat. In the midst of it are weeds, people that don't realize God's saving the world because He wants them to have time to repent, and they don't even know what's going on. You know, I think about the news. The news is depressing. I quit reading it. North Korea. I got tired of reading about it, so it doesn't change anything, but I don't want to read about it every week. But why do these things exist? Why do we have a world where somebody can push a button and cause an incredible problem for us in the world? But God is preserving us from that. Think about it. How much we've gone through as a nation and a world, even with all the crises of the past century. The world still exists because God is saving it for the sake of the wheat. And that's why each of our lives makes a difference that will be revealed on the last day. It does matter that we're striving to be children of God in a world that doesn't know Him and doesn't know what life's about, that it's not about me. It's about bearing fruit for God and others by the kind of life I've led. And it becomes very obvious at the end. I see this in funerals quite frequently. You know, what was the fruit of my life? And did I have faith? So the other piece of this, of course, the other analogies he uses, the small seed that's planted that grows into the largest of shrubs. I can tell you, a couple of people in my early life planted some seeds, and my priesthood grew out of it. They don't even know who they are, but I do. And one of them said he's going to come and fill in for me again next year when I'm going, God help me, overseas again. And and he planted a seed when I was in high school. I watched him as a priest, and he's still alive, and now he's filling in for me. How about that? But you never know. These little seeds we planted with the kids over here in Vacation Bible School hopefully may grow into a large plant of faith. That was the whole idea. But we have to be careful what seeds we're planting in the garden. I planted false nettles over there 12 years ago. I can tell you, they've taken over the whole backyard. I can't get rid of it. Somebody else will probably torch it all and start over again, I suppose. But Christ tells us, be careful what we're planting. Work on the garden. There will come a time when our garden will be revealed, when the master gardener comes, and then we'll want to have a crop of good fruit. Is my life fruitful? We may not always recognize at first that we need to change things. But at the moment that we do, at the beginning, the middle, or the end, then's the time to weed the garden and realize that one day God, who's had much patience with us in this world and individually, we have a limited time. And God, the gardener, wants us as children of God to understand the difference between the weeds and the wheat.